Hi, Baby Nation. It's Jack here. As you know, we're only releasing Babysitter's Club episodes on alternate weeks until we can go back to our regular weekly schedule, probably pretty soon. But we did want to provide something for folks to listen to on the off week. And, well, the short version of this is that I thought it would be a really fun idea to just have an hour, maybe 90 minutes, where I read from some of the lesser-known verse plays of T.S. Eliot, not like the mainstream stuff, like Murder in the Cathedral or The Cocktail Party, but something a little bit more off the beaten track, like The Confidential Clerk or The Elder Statesman. And then I would obviously do all different voices for the parts and accents and stuff, and then kind of do some stream of consciousness riffing about how they connect to Eliot's earlier, more well-known poems from the 20s and 30s. But anyway, Tanner had a different idea, and we kind of had a big fight about it, and I guess he won the fight. So here's the most recent episode of Experience Share, Pokemon Play podcast, which is Tanner's other podcast with a guy called Josh. And from what I can tell, it sounds exactly like our podcast, except if it had Josh instead of me, and it's about Pokemon instead of something interesting. This is the first episode of their new season, so it's a good time to dive in. You can find more at expsharepod.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And we will be back next week with Jane Eyre.
Hello and welcome to Experience Share. It's a Pokemon podcast wherein I, Totodile, aka Tanner Greenring, and my co-host, Chikoritosh,
Chikorita,
aka Joshua Failstead, play through every single Pokemon game, gym by gym, week by week. And when I say every single Pokemon game, I mean most of them, because there's games that we're not going to play. And there's already games we've missed, like Pokemon Puzzle League for the N64.
Pokemon Channel. For the GameCube.
Maybe
someday.
Who knows? Maybe we'll go revisit all of them, but for now,
we're doing the real good shit.
The main canon.
The mainline shit. We're just mainlining it.
And now we're on season 4B.
Yeah.
Playing through Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver. It's episode 1. It's a new start, a new journey. A game we've played before, but now brought to life in full 3D 16-bit glory.
Probably 32-bit by now,
do you think? I don't know.
I don't know how those bits work.
I don't know how bits work either.
But there's definitely a lot more bits than gold and silver.
Tons of bits. Oh. And full color, and 3D models, and the sprites of all the Pokemon are looking good.
They move around, too.
They move around a little bit, yeah.
They bebop and scot.
Can they follow you?
Ugh. Every Pokemon, no matter who you have up front, they got an animation and just trots around with you.
They'll just pop around behind you. Yeah, it's cute.
So sweet.
I had a Hoot following me around.
Do you notice how
much of this leg?
You see its 2 feet? Because it will like hop with one and then alternate with the other?
Yeah.
Two legs confirmed.
And it.
I think upgrade for Hoot this gen.
Hoot rises in my ranks a little bit. Is it still you make me barf? I don't know. I'm going to have to do some introspection to figure that out.
I felt that its eyes were more cross-eyed as well, which I also liked.
Kind of cute. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. The sprites are definitely winning me over in this game. There's a lot of cool new sprites that I like.
Yeah.
And Hoot is one of them. But so is Totodile, which is my starter, because Joshua, we're playing a Nuzlocke run.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Because it's a remake, and when we do remakes, we do Nuzlocke runs. And we've added some spicy new rules, the first of which was about a week ago, we did a poll on Twitter where we asked the bug catchers to decide which starters we should use. For you, they chose Chikorita. It wasn't even like a contest. It was like 75% Chikorita.
Which, as far as I could tell from the comments and from my experience now playing, seems like some kind of a fucking statement against me.
Yeah.
Because Chikorita is not easy.
Yeah.
Obviously, the first gym is flying type, so I couldn't even touch Chikorita.
For me, it was a toss-up right until the end, to be honest. at times seemed like Cyndaquil was going to win.
Right.
At times, it seemed like we were both possibly going to be running a Chikorita. But in the end, just barely squeaked by Totodile. So that was rule number one. Should we just go through all the Nuzlocke rules?
Yeah, I think we could kind of cruise through like the main ones.
Not a lot of the core rules have changed from last time.
Yeah, we really only have like one significant change and then one minor change, I think.
Core rule number one is that when a Pokemon faints, it's dead and you have to release it as soon as you're able to, except if it's a shiny.
Yeah, we added
Shinies
that.
Can go into the box.
Yeah. We've still never seen a shiny in all of these hundreds
like
of hours
one in 8,000
of playing
chance.
This and recording.
Yeah.
But we had bug catchers who requested it last time, and it's mostly for all of you. If you catch a shiny, then sure, it's fine. But I don't think we're going to see it.
Maybe this is the game. Core rule number two, you can only catch the first Pokemon you encounter in each area. That does not include static encounters. So like,
if you're forced to see a Snorlax,
right,
then that doesn't count.
Or like in this leg, you have to go up to Mr. Pokemon's house and back to Newbark, and you encounter a lot of Pokemon on the way, but because you don't have Pokeballs yet,
right,
it doesn't count.
Have to have access to Pokeballs.
There are certain areas that have lots of sub-areas, like the Safari Zone or National Park.
Yeah.
So those... each of those sub areas count as an area, catchable area.
Yeah, we also called out if you are fortunate enough to have or invest in a Pokewalker.
Yeah.
The routes on that count as different areas. TBD, we might introduce that, but we'd already
sunk a
fair amount of money into just trying to get a damn cartridge for this thing.
Right. And then the last exception is a new one by popular request from last time we did a Nuzlocke run with Fire Red and Leaf Green. If we've already caught a Pokemon, then if we encounter it again, if it's our first encounter in a new zone, we can skip it and catch the next encounter.
Dupe's Claws.
I want to add to this rule that we are allowed to do that 5 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's,
you're just adding this on the fly?
I was reading up on it, and that's like... apparently, the standard Dupe's Claws is you get 5 tries.
5 tries.
So okay. If you encounter
so you have
a Pidgey,
to track that as well.
If you catch a Pidgey and catch and go to a new route, and all you encounter is Pidgeys, on your 5th one, your option is either to catch that Pidgey or just give up on the route.
Okay, fine,
fine. Otherwise, you could just be there forever. You know.
I see,
and that's useful for no one.
I see what you're saying.
The third core rule is that you have to catch all of your own Pokemon. You can't get them via gift or via trade. So even this route, there's a man who offers us an Onix for a Bellsprout, and I had to politely decline and say, no, sir.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Which, if you were not doing a Nuzlocke, good trade because of a Faulkner.
Also, in-game scripted events. So when we, if we ever encounter a Snorlax blocking the road and battle it, that Snorlax is off limits.
Yes.
Core rule number four, we all have to name all of our Pokemon to form meaningful and close bonds with them. Standard.
Mm-hmm.
Core rule number five is that guest and host battles don't count. It's just a dream sequence.
Yeah, that's for
so
us.
We don't have to release any dead Pokemon. Core rule number six, daycare center may not be used.
That's new. We just needed to clarify that now that there's breeding and there are multiple daycare centers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use it.
Core rule number seven should be obvious, but no restarting or reloading just because something didn't go your way. And then we've updated the tagline on this one to
no secretary of cheatsportations.
I think it should be secretaries of cheatsportation, but I didn't write it. Someone else did.
You could copy edit. You didn't have to, didn't have to just run with my wording there. Secretaries of Cheatsportation. Yeah, that's right.
And then
right.
We've got some fun and spicy bonus rules.
Yes.
To go over.
These are extra spicy.
The first is, for all of you, it's the same as last time where your trainer ID determines your starter. So if your trainer ID starts 1 through 3, it's a grass type. 4 through 6, fire type. 7 through 9, water type. And 0, you choose. For us, we obviously did the poll on Twitter. And, you know, you do that too if you want. Go to your Twitter and ask your Twitter followers which starter you should use.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
I'm sure without any context, that'll be totally well received.
Yeah, don't explain it, in fact.
The next bonus rule is called the Champion's Clause. We lifted it from some other house rules.
Oh, yeah.
Once we get to Goldenrod, we can import an egg from one of our previous playthroughs. But then every other rule applies to that egg and the Pokemon that comes out of it.
So this is we dubbed it the Champion's Clause because I thought that was sort of fun.
Yeah.
And it will relate to the next rule, but shout out to Colin McIsaac, who is a host of Nintendo Week and someone who we may have collaborated with on a podcast.
Yeah.
So he told us that this was a weird and interesting Nuzlocke rule that you can do. So this one is sort of like an asterisk to the core rule 3. This is the only egg you can trade in.
Yeah.
But it can be whatever you want.
So go and do your breeding in your last games.
Yeah.
And figure out who you want to send through and then send them through.
Yes. And it relates nicely to bonus rule number 3.
Bonus rule number 3, if a Pokemon faints, it may be revived once as a Zombiemon.
Yeah.
Zombiemon may not be healed by healing items and may only be healed at a Poke Center if another healthy Pokemon from your box is sacrificed. So in other words, if you got a bunch of chaff in your box, you can feed them to the zombie to heal the zombie.
Yeah.
But once that zombie's dead, it's dead. And of course, ghost Pokemon cannot be zombies.
Right. I mean, how...
That doesn't make any sense.
Think about it. Like, how...
Yeah.
How could they be resurrected?
So that one's going to be interesting. If we got a hero on our team, we can bring him back, but we do have to give something up.
Yeah. And it seems like more of a mid to late game thing, especially with the dupe's claws eventually being depleted. So you could end up with a bunch of, like, Pidgeys and Rattatas and shit. And then just be like, fine, I'm just going to sacrifice them.
Yep. It really incentivizes making sure you catch a Pokemon on every single route. Because I remember last time we did a Nuzlocke, there were whole routes that we would sometimes skip. Because it's like, well, I don't need another fucking Pidgey.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, there were a couple where I accidentally killed the wild Pokemon and then I couldn't catch them.
You have to be more careful this time. You need meat for your zombie boys.
Yeah. You gotta have a store of a cache of Pokemon.
Bonus rule number 4 is already proving to be absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
And we may have to cut it.
It's bad.
But bonus rule number 4 is you can only level your Pokemon up to the level of the next gym leader's highest level Pokemon. So this week we took on Faulkner. Faulkner had a level 13 Pidgeotto.
Yeah, this is a problem for me.
And this was a brutal rule, and we might have to get rid of it.
We did this adjustment because bug catchers who played along or listened along in Season 3 when we played Fire Red Leaf Green, this was in lieu of the rule where you could only bring into a gym battle, a boss battle, as many Pokemon as they had, because we thought that sucked.
Yeah.
And then we thought, this will be fine, and...
This sucks even more.
This is probably quickly going to be a problem.
Yeah. bonus rule number 5 is gyms are checkpoints. If we white out after a gym, we can go back to that gym, release all the Pokemon we caught in the interim, and restart as though nothing ever happened.
Yeah. And that's just because, like, we have a podcast to make.
Yeah.
So we can't, like, reasonably restart the entire game. You can.
Yeah, you can if you want, but, we shan't.
We can't live like that.
And then bonus rule number 6 is the HM rule, which is that if we have a Pokemon that can learn an HM, we have to teach it to it. But if we don't, we can go back and catch a Pokemon in an old route where we already caught a Pokemon just to teach it HMs.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the rules of this Nuzlocke run. Joshy?
Yeah, I'm into it.
It's going to be a journey.
A little scary because... Heart Gold, Soul Silver is 16 gyms, so we're going to be doing this for a long time.
Yep.
Lots of chaff for the grinder.
Yeah. There's a YouTube channel that I found the other night when I was a little tipsy.
Uh-huh.
Been called there. Ordinary Sausage, where a guy... The nice part is that each of the videos is only like 2 minutes long, but this guy will grind anything you suggest in a meat grinder and pack it into a sausage casing and cook it up and eat the sausage.
Jesus.
And...
It's like
that is what my Pokemon team is going to be like this season.
Like an even more deranged version of that. Like, what was it fucking like CNET or something weird series where it was Will It Blend?
Will It Blend, yeah.
And they just take like the newest hot gadget and throw it in a blender and like see what happens.
It'll blend.
This guy will
pack whatever into a sausage casing and eat it.
So it does it have to be a food type, or it could just be...
Yeah, it has to be a food type, because he has to eat it.
Okay.
But, like, for instance, he did... I saw one the other day where he did water sausage. I saw one where he did sausage casing sausage, where he just packed a bunch of other sausage casings into a sausage casing and cooked it up and ate it. But then he'll do, like, filet mignon, you know?
Sure.
He'll do, like, Kobe beef. So it's a real toss-up.
Interesting.
Anyway, check that out. He's funny. new season, new characters, new guys that we're playing.
Yeah.
So long, Steve Heumann and Bree Van Der. There's a couple of new hotshot trainers in town. Do you want to tell me about your character for this leg?
Sure. So my character, this leg, is a young, malleable child from, you know, New Barktown. Your regular kind of kid.
Okay.
A little nerdy, trying to figure out his way in life, what his calling will be.
Sure.
He came across this sort of, he was out over at like a Pokemon Mart. And he saw something a little, it looked like a little spicy, like, you know, the cover's a little, like, obscured by another cover. And he saw a couple of, like, ears popping up.
Okay.
Over the other cover, and he grabbed it. He was intrigued by the ears. He sees the cover, and it's got a giant Lopunny on it.
Okay.
And then it said, you know, exclusive interview, T. Green Ring and Steve Heumann right on there.
Okay.
And he wanted to get to the bottom of what was so alluring about this Lopunny on here. And what he found was an interview with a character named Steve Heumann.
Yeah, I know him.
Over in Sinnoh. And this guy, Steve Heumann, was just talking about this kind of wild stuff that he'd been getting into in his adventures over in Sinnoh.
Like, kind of a party guy, right?
Hanging out with a bunch of friends. Yeah. Getting into trouble, drinking a lot.
Road trip.
Finding wives, kids, like along the way, like falling in love.
Yeah. Settling down.
Sort of this beautiful story. And Stanner decided that maybe what he should do is follow in the footsteps of Steve Heumann, Stan Steve Heumann, and go and set out on his own journey, find some buds out in Johto and do the same thing. And go find some trouble out there.
Where's the Lopunny come in?
Well, like I said, there was a T. Green Ring was mentioned
in
this as well.
You say T. Green Ring as though you're obscuring my name, but since my last name is made up and only belongs to three people in the world, me, my wife, and my son,
yeah,
it's pretty clear who T. Green Ring is.
So, yeah, there was another article that was an interview. it was kind of like way in the back of the magazine, and it was about this relationship that this T. Green Ring has with his Lopunny.
Consensual?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
The Lopunny is... You've never seen a Lopunny that's treated better than this.
So Stanner is Steve Heumann's biggest fan?
Yeah, Stanner is a trainer type. It's a Stanner. It's someone who stands.
It's someone who stands. Yeah, Stanner.
I mean, that's not to say, like, you know, he read that article about T. Green Ring as well, and, like, you know,
unlock some feelings within him, unlock some interests within him.
Yeah, and he takes that magazine everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
okay, good.
Makes sense.
That'll sort of inform some of the names of the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, if you had me fill out a long survey.
Right.
Describing some of the things I like most.
There was sort of a section that was like 25 things you don't know about me in the magazine.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a little sidebar.
Yeah, yeah. So he wants to live up to his heroes, T. Green Ring and Steve Heumann. So maybe that will come into play when he needs to name his new friends.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll see.
He's a super impressionable young man, so.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen to him? Hopefully, he'll be okay.
Don't let the alt-right get a hold of him. I'm glad he found something positive to channel his energy and focus into.
At least he found this magazine before he met anyone from Team Rocket, you know?
Yeah.
They're a real right-wing outfit out here in Johto, I hear.
My guy's name is... He's an attorney.
Okay.
My guy is an attorney, adult man. His name is Attorney William Nathaniel Testament.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a name.
Attorney Will and Testament.
Okay. Taking a page out of Bree Van Der's book.
Yeah, and he's an estate lawyer.
Wow.
And he's got a lot of clients who are sort of approaching end of life, and he helps them with their end of life arrangements, including sort of that hospice care stuff. He helps them get their wills in order.
That's nice.
Helps them make sure that they're
taken care of in their like final days.
Bequeathals, their bequests are in order so that if they do pass, because they're, you know, quite old, quite frail, should they pass, their assets will be distributed responsibly.
Sure.
So he's got a team of Pokemon who, you know, could drop at any moment.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's just part of the territory, you know.
It's a circle
of life.
It's not
fun, but it's yeah, it's, you know, you just have to treat death with respect and reverence and
respect it.
Can't be afraid of it. You just have to embrace it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he will be he'll be managing the estates of all the Pokemon on his team.
Okay.
And should they die, they will each be named after a prominent charity.
Okay. So are these like rich people's Pokemon? Where did the Pokemon get their assets?
Yeah, no, they're rich. They're elderly people's Pokemon.
Okay.
And when the people die, he sort of inherits them.
All right.
And these Pokemon are all named after prominent charities. And I can't believe I'm doing this. Should any of my Pokemon die?
Okay.
I will donate money.
Oh my God.
To the charity that it's named after.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know why I decided to do this.
What?
I wanted to disincentivize any of my Pokemon dying, but it also is all for a good cause, so it's like
that's
not much.
You're just a very compassionate, generous human being.
Yeah. So we'll see. This is gonna suck.
Could add up by
the
end.
I haven't decided whether or not how much I'm donating yet. It'll kind of depend.
Maybe it should
be
what their level is.
Some personal issues shake out in the near future. I was like, maybe it'll be their Pokemon number. And it's like, nope, that's a bad idea.
Well, you could do it by their level that they
might just be like
expire at.
Might be $5.
Although eventually that could get a little
might
rough.
Be $10 per. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. But I will be naming all my Pokemon after charities and donating to those charities should those Pokemon die.
Okay. Random charities? Charities that...
All informed by the Pokemon.
Okay.
In question.
Okay, interesting. We'll see how that works when we get to level check, I guess.
Yeah. That's the intro.
That's the intro.
That's our teams. That's our guys. That's the rules to this Nuzlocke run. Please do play along. We find ourselves in New Barktown, a familiar sight.
Yeah.
We are fully fleshed out in beautiful 16/32-bit glory.
16 plus
glory.
Yeah.
We walk downstairs. There's Mom. She says, Attorney Will.
You're just back home. Did you just graduated. You just got your degree. You're coming
just
home.
The bar.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
She really was like, it. You know, you got to just go out there and get some real life experience and maybe make some friends. And
get some wins under your belt.
Yeah,
in the courtroom. He doesn't do litigation.
Oh, he's not a trial lawyer.
Estate, yeah. He just does estate stuff.
Yeah.
So he's not really in the courtroom all that often. He's empathetic, you know. That's why he decided to do this. He realized he had a way with people. And he was like, well, I can deal with a room full of crying people, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Something I forgot to ask, is Stanner identify as male or female?
Oh, it's male.
Okay, so you encountered Lyra too then.
Yeah.
Lyra's new, right?
Yeah, that is new.
I'm assuming it's like Platinum where we fought with Dawn, or like Dawn was hanging around.
Like Dawn or Lucas in Platinum.
It's the female character if you had chosen female.
It's like the third wheel who...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess probably implied... Like, we know that the like long-haired kid is going to be our rival like in Gold and Silver. So Lyra is, yeah, probably a parallel for like
Dawn / Brenda.
Just some like someone who like builds you up and like helps you out. But I don't know if we're probably not going to battle them.
Right. So, yeah, Lyra comes and assaults you. I don't know what the male equivalent of Lyra would be.
I think it's Ethan. I saw this earlier.
Ethan. Okay.
Yeah. And this is like someone who Professor Elm originally sends to like do his errand to Mr. Pokemon, I think. Like, he's just recruiting the village children to, like, go out in the woods and meet up with this old man.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
his
yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You encounter her, and she ushers you back to Professor Elm's workshop, and there he obviously gives you the choice between Cyndaquil, Totodile, and Chikorita. Obviously, you know who we picked, but...
Yep.
After that, she kind of walks you through the tutorial stuff. You learn how to fight Pokemon. You learn how to catch Pokemon. But then Dr. Elm has a mission for you, which is to get up to Mr. Pokemon's house.
Yeah, Mr. Pokemon.
To fetch an egg. You there, boy.
Fetch me an egg.
Fetch me the fattest Christmas egg you can find. So yeah, you make your...
I go for a Kinder egg, but...
You make your way up there, and you're obviously blown by some of the sights of Johto, Route 29, Cherry Grove City.
Try to pick up some apricorns, which you can't, because there's nowhere to put them.
Yet. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's another, you know, that's another one of the big changes, actually, that I think I'm into, is that all of the berry trees are replaced with apricorn trees.
Yeah, and you can go fetch a berry off of them once every 24 hours, and I made it a point.
An apricorn.
Josh and I were toying with the idea of not being able to use Pokeballs, or only being able to use five Pokeballs. We can buy five Pokeballs per city, but everything else had to be Apricorn Balls.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we did not end up going with that, but I forgot that and made it a point to open my Game Boy every single day and go and fetch Apricorns.
Yeah, the issue was that, like, obviously it was sort of unhinged, like, on premise, but then also there's no just straight-up Pokeball equivalent, or, like, Great Ball equivalent.
Right.
Apricorn ball, like, they all have some weird feature, and it's like a level ball or like a heavy
ball. The apricorn balls are interesting and do cool things, but none of them are, like, make catching Pokemon any easier.
And so we could have ended up in a scenario where, like, we're just lugging, like, all these apricorn balls and hucking them at Pokemon, and then you could just not have a good correlation, and then just not catch anything.
Right.
At all.
So we gave up on that, but I still, in my, like, lizard brain was like, must have apricorns. So
oh, I'm also collecting
collected
them.
All the apricorns
like a chipmunk before winter.
Yeah. So then we make our way to Mr. Pokemon's house. He's the same fucking freak he was in the last game.
Oak's visiting him, and Oak is promoting his radio show / podcast that he hosts over in Goldenrod.
Right.
I hope if they do another remake of this that they update it to be podcasts. That would be really fun.
Why would they do a third remake of this?
Because
I guess they did with Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu.
Yeah.
They could give it the Let's Go treatment.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
Make it a podcast. Teach these kids about podcasts.
Get them into podcasting. Radio's dead.
Yeah.
Mr. Pokemon has the egg. He gives it to you.
Yeah, he wants Elm to analyze it.
Oak is there, and he gives you the Pokedex.
Yeah, he's very, like, enchanted by this young man with this glint in his glasses.
Yeah.
Looking out.
The cool thing about the bottom screen in this game is...
Let's talk about that bottom screen.
Wow. This game previously was on Nintendo DS. We've got that bottom screen to contend with. And I feel like, so far, I guess we've only played, well, two games. We've played Ruby and...
No, the first one, the DS one, is Platinum was the first one.
Okay. So this is the second game we've played with dual screen.
Yeah. But Platinum didn't really, even as the third game, didn't really take advantage of this second screen.
Didn't do much. Second screen in this game is pretty cool. It's got all your menu shit. You can go and check out your trainer card. You can go check out your items and stuff.
And it's always there. So, like, you can pull it up and navigate it with the D-pad.
Right.
But you can also use the... I actually, for the first time, have had my stylus out basically the whole time, and that's not...
Yeah, they encourage...
You know, not a euphemism. It's like the pen.
They encourage it. You also do all your, like, Pokemon move and, like, Pokeball stuff, like, down there, like...
Yeah, it's fun.
Everything happens on the bottom screen now.
Like, you can hold the DS with one hand, the DS Lite in particular, because it's the best machine ever designed.
Yeah.
The thing that was also great is that, like, which I only noticed when we were entering our teams in a Pokemon Showdown, when you look at the summary... It puts the fucking stats of the Pokemon on the top screen and the moves and a few other things and, like, the abilities and the nature on the other screen. So you can get the whole, like, rundown of the Pokemon. And that was infuriating to me in Platinum, that the bottom screen was not the moves.
Right.
Or, like, you still had to just flip through all the pages.
It's a pretty esoteric thing, but it's super useful for us since we always have to program our teams into Showdown. Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm loving the new bottom screen. I've gotten a lot of use out of it already. You know, obviously the phone is back, and I guess this time, because it's a Nuzlocke run, I'm going to talk to these fucking freaks and collect their phone numbers.
Youngster fucking Joey called me just countless times to talk about, yell at me about his Rattata.
Yeah. I'm not interested in your Rattata, youngster Joey.
But we need those EXP points.
I know. I have to actually do it this time. It drives me crazy. but I'll do it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You can screen them.
It makes it easier because you just pop up the little phone and you've got your Poke gear, which is a lot like, it seems like it's going to take on kind of a Poketch application in this game.
Because the Poketch, we should clarify, like the Poketch was on the bottom screen when you were like not in battle or like not accessing the menu. But depending on what they do with the Poke gear, we could be seeing some real innovation here. And this is a Silphco territory, which is
interesting. Right. So far, all we have really is phone and map, but they work well. I'm digging the bottom screen in this game.
Yeah, me too.
So we got the Pokedex from Oak. We've got the egg from Mr. Pokemon. Head back to New Bark Town. Give it to Dr. Elm, Professor Elm. Mm-hmm. And before we can even get there, though, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
As we're passing through Cherry Grove City, a little brat.
Yeah.
In my game, he's called Bad Josh.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Buddy, all of these various people keep encountering someone named Bad Josh.
Yeah.
And is this a reincarnation, or is that like, you know, like a few years back, like Arya was a popular name because of Game of Thrones? Is it because there was a Bad Josh in Kanto?
It's hard to say.
The original one, and like people are like, that Bad Josh kind of had some attitude. And then people are naming
Link.
Their babies after Bad Josh?
I think it might be like Link.
It's a reincarnation. Yeah.
It's not reincarnation. It's alternate timelines almost, you know? Sometimes it's reincarnation.
Sure. Sure.
But really, it's just like, you know, that's the hero dies timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is just Bad Josh again. He's back.
Like, we haven't heard from Joshua in a while.
Is he okay?
Probably going to have to come back sometime.
Maybe next season, so you can do whatever you want and not be constrained by some.
Probably needs to be reincarnated at some point to deal with all of these Bad Joshes.
So Bad Josh encountered me in Cherry Grove City. He wanted to battle. He had a Chikorita.
Mm-hmm.
Just surprising, because I think they're pretty rare.
Where do you get that?
But I trounced him.
Yeah. Young Stanner ran into, well, or rather, a young man ran into Stanner, is a better way of putting it, and in fact shoved him away. Pretty fucking rude. And he introduced himself as Fjellstan.
Oh.
And this guy, like, wouldn't shut up about, like, this, like,
I know him.
Cool looking, intelligent, like talented guy named Josh Fjellstad.
Yeah. Cool looking?
Cool looking, yeah. Cool looking's neutral. I don't have to say that I'm good looking. You know, it's like cool looking.
Cool looking.
It's like maybe it's not good looking, but it's like you're interested. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Striking.
Striking. There we go. Yeah. The striking Fjellstad character. And so this Fjellstan is like all in on this guy.
Okay.
And Stanner fucking threw down. He's like, no, no, no. And Fjellstan had a Cyndaquil.
Yeah.
And it got crushed.
So just out of interest, because I was like, I wonder what our users see when they just Google Josh Fjellstad. So I Googled you just to see, like, what, like, who are they going to see when they do that?
There's some other of Josh Fjellstad who recently has made it to top three, but everything else is me.
There's a image of what appears to be a Pokemon porn in the second row of your results.
Yeah, it's some article that I made on the website we used to work at.
And there's a lot of politics.
Reporting on Pokemon porn, not me.
I see old Bernie Sanders here.
Good.
I see Obama. Good. I see my other podcast that you're not even on. Lots of thumbnails from my other podcast that you're not even on. That must drive you crazy.
The Suez Canal ship, the Ever Given.
There's Jack. Jinx, for some reason.
An iguana.
Fairly prominent, yeah.
Wait, where are you going with this? That's just,
well,
a
I just
lot
wanted
of stuff
to see,
people would be want to admire.
I just wanted to see what people were getting when they searched for you. also search for Tanner Greenring.
Yeah, now
in the top results.
Let's see what's going on over at Tanner Greenring's page.
Let's check it out.
Lots of pics of Jack.
Yeah, there's going to be lots of pics of Jack.
Well, we need to have more pics together, man.
Our friend Katie Heaney is in there. Our friend Isaac is in there.
I guess I'm next to you, but it's our own images.
There's the girls from the Babysitter's Club.
There's you and Jack dressed up as Babysitter's Club characters, I presume.
No, we were dressed as Amy Pond from Doctor Who.
Okay.
Because we did an interstitial break for the BBC.
Wow.
For a Doctor Who marathon.
And that's how you get the big bucks.
That's how you get the big bucks. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of Isaac. Martin Shkreli.
Cat with its head through some bread, obviously.
Lots of cats. So yeah, we're doing good.
Lots for people to stan.
If you want to know who we are and what we look like, those are all pretty accurate depictions of us. Josh, we beat Bad Josh and Fjellstan.
Yeah.
We're headed back to New Barktown to drop off this egg. Did anything notable happen on your way back to New Barktown for you? Barktown?
No, we don't have Pokeballs yet.
Tell me about it after this break.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
We're back in New Barktown, Joshua. Welcome back to New Barktown.
Back where we started from.
This is where the game really begins. That whole, like, tutorial interlude where you run up to Mr. Pokebot's house is nonsense.
Yeah.
You drop off the egg, all that kind of shit. But as soon as you leave New Barktown, Lyra approaches you and says, here's some Pokeballs.
Thanks.
So now the journey truly has begun. And we are on Route 29, directly west of New Barktown.
Mm-hmm.
And I play this game primarily in the evening.
Yeah.
And the first Pokemon I encountered that I could catch was called Hoothoot.
Wow.
And I caught it.
You won't believe this, but...
What?
I often play at night.
Yeah.
And what I caught was a Hoothoot.
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 Hoothoot has... I'm looking at the name now on our sheet. Yeah. I think we're mispronouncing it.
Hoothoot?
Hoothoot.
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 Look at it. Hoothoot.
Hoothoot. Hoothoot is an upgrade as well. It sounds sophisticated.
I caught a Hoothoot.
Hoothoot.
And I will say this. I played this entire leg, and I'm grateful for the dupes clause, because I encountered a lot of Hoothoots along the way.
I think that at least two of my Pokemon already would have been Hoothoots.
Oh, I think I'm at like three or four.
I mean, they're like Rattatas out here.
I know, yeah.
I actually saw one Rattata, and I was fucking like, loved it.
Yeah. Hoothoot's like a good Pokemon, or at least he turns into a good Pokemon. Like,
yeah, I mean,
it's not
I
a
had
bad option. Certainly better than Raticate.
I ran a Noctowl in Gen 2, and you know that thing could do some damage.
Bones, yeah. So yeah, I caught a Hoothoot on Route 29, and then you make your way over to Route 30, and I caught a Rattata, just like you said.
Okay, so I got a little lucky here. I think Well, ultimately, it was very lucky. We'll get to that later. But I got a Caterpie.
I think that's version exclusive. I think I've got...
Oh, you got Weedle?
Weedle and Kakunas, and you've got Caterpie and Metapods.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I've only seen Metapods and Caterpies, so that is your version exclusive.
Not a lot happens on these routes, so we're just kind of going to rattle through them, although there are some Apricorns here. I think there's green, black, and yellows that I've encountered so far, and I'm not sure what those correspond to, but I did keep coming back for more of those tasty little morsels.
Yeah.
But anyway, I made my way up to Route 31. Route 31's a pretty brief section of game after Cherry Grove City. But there is the entrance to Dark Cave up here, which at this point is not fully accessible or explorable because we don't have Flash.
Right.
But it's one of the newfangled caves where you've got that halo of light around you, and the halo of light is even better in this game, and I fully think that you could probably make your way through this cave without Flash.
I think so. It's also super short from what I remember.
Really compelled to. But I spent a long time in here grinding. Never needed Flash.
So you did it. I didn't step in. I thought about it. And then I was like, well, I don't want to know yet what I might get.
Well, so this is one of the areas where there's two catchable routes in here.
Right.
There's the Route 31 entrance. And then there's also something called the Route 45 entrance.
Oh, 46.
So we do have the potential to come back here
yeah.
and catch more Pokemon.
Yeah, because Dark Cave will like lead out to that.
Yeah.
And if you recall, and I didn't do this time in Gen 2, Season 2, I did go into that Route 46 because there's that little like gatehouse
right.
that you can go to the foot of it. And that's where I caught that Geodude.
Right.
I didn't do that this time. I'm warier now because it's a Nuzlocke. Maybe I'm going to need that later.
Yeah.
So I didn't do it.
It's a calculation you have to make. The reason I went in here is because I knew that Faulkner was on the horizon. I know he has flying type. And I was like, maybe I should catch a ground type.
Yeah.
Is that logical?
He's rock. It is effective on ground.
Rock. Yeah.
He's rock and ground.
But. So I thought I'd go in and catch a Geodude, which I did catch.
That was smart.
Yeah.
Damn.
But along the way, I did spend some time battling in there. And along the way, in addition to the Geodude I caught, I fought a bajillion Zubats. And I fought a Pokemon that is exceedingly rare. I only saw one. A disgusting little Pokemon called Dunsparce, who has been my You Make Me Barf Pokemon before.
Yeah.
But in full 16 plus bit glory, was just heinous. There's no charm to this thing. It's just gross.
Bug catchers,
it's just gross.
Sound off in the comments if one of you fucking likes this thing. Have we done this before?
No, we asked that about that Sunflower Pokemon.
Sunflora, that's Sunflora. Right. Well, Dunsparce, come on.
It like opens its gross little mouth.
The Sunflora at least has
its
some
gross
okay
little
stats.
Like toothless mouth.
This sucks. It's like what is it? It's like a larva of like
on the Bulbapedia page, it's described as land snake Pokemon.
Okay,
which I don't understand because all snakes are land snakes, or most of them.
You know what's also disgusting?
It's got wings.
Well, the wings are awful.
Yeah,
absolutely awful. But the fact that it doesn't evolve is infuriating because it seems like it should evolve into something like theoretically cool. This should be a Magikarp Phoebus situation.
Yeah, it should.
It turns into
should
something
be.
Fucking sick with like it giant wings.
It turns into nothing.
And the other and we touched on this in the episode with
well,
Dr.
you know what's
Lava.
Confusing, Josh?
Well, look how big
the
it is.
The next Pokemon is 207 Gilgar, and it's like clearly Gilgar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Gilgar is definitely meant to be the Dunsparce evolution.
Just make this thing the pre-evolution of fucking Gligar and get it over with.
Gilgar? Look at this thing. Gilgar's got a scorpion tail.
Gligar.
It's got wings.
There's an L.
I know. definitely, Dunsparce at one point was supposed to evolve into Gilgar, and they didn't do it.
That would make it much more acceptable to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like fucking Gligar either.
Yeah, I don't like either of them.
I don't like any of it.
I think he's gross. He's my You Make Me Barf Pokemon of the week.
Do you want to talk about how it's 4'11" as well?
I don't.
Okay.
And you can only find it in dark caves. Imagine that. Walking through a dark cave, you put your hand on something fleshy and it moves and it's huge. It's 4'11".
And is it like a cobra where it can like come up like that, or is it just this big fat like
it's like a grub
digesting like snake? Yeah, grub. Yeah. It's a grub. Oh, I hate this thing. Fuck this.
Yeah,
the reason why you wanted it was interesting.
I sort of did want to catch a Dunsparce because I was reading up on Dunsparce And apparently it's got a cool ability where it's called Serene Grace. Which means that it, any move how does that does...
That thing has no grace.
No, I know. And it's not serene.
No.
It's the opposite. It's hellish.
It evokes it rage.
Yeah. But anyways, Dunsparce has this ability called Serene Grace, which is any move that has like a secondary status changing effect. So like Thundershock, which has a chance to paralyze. It doubles that chance.
This is pretty great.
And because it's normal type, it can learn a billion moves. So the trick with this thing, it doesn't have a lot of hit points. Its stats aren't great, but you can teach it a bunch of these status changing moves. And using Serene Grace, like, up your chances. And just, like, you want to teach it a move that paralyzes, and you want to teach it a move that causes flinch. And then you just drop paralysis and flinch moves on your opponent, and they're stuck. They can't do anything.
Yeah, like, it makes Bite have a fucking 30% chance? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Of flinching?
So, I wanted to play with that. That seemed like an interesting thing, but it seemed pretty rare in Dark Cave, so I didn't get my chance.
Maybe I'll get it.
Yeah.
I haven't been in there. I did not go into Dark Cave.
Otherwise, Route 31 is a fairly straight shot. I caught a Bellsprout. There's a lot of Bellsprouts in this area.
This is when I played at night again. So I got Spinarak. Because the Caterpie is a daytime one. But Spinarak is nighttime. And I got a Spinarak.
Are you going to run this Spinarak?
Well, I have to.
I guess.
Ugh. Right now, I have to. I ran an Ariados. It's evolved form.
Yeah.
Way, way back in the day when I was a kid. And like, its stats are not great, but like, you get Sludge Bomb. It has a signature move. Spider Web is pretty good. I think it has its place. If I were playing with no restrictions, would I run it? No.
No.
But do I think it's sort of interesting if I somehow, if this thing doesn't die, which seems extremely unlikely.
Right.
Yeah, I think it could be a little interesting, but like,
I'm curious to see what you do with it.
Its stats are fucking awful.
It seems bad. It's ugly. Its stats are bad. There's nothing I like about Spinarak.
Yeah, they haven't done, I don't think they've done enough with like spiders in general.
That's true. There are not a lot of spider Pokemon.
How are they not messing around with spiders more?
There should be a million. There's like 8 goldfish Pokemon. Why are there not more spider Pokemon?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
I'm assuming that they've added more spider Pokemon since.
The one that I really like is Galvantula. That one's cool.
What's the one that has a big water butt?
Dewpider. Yeah.
Dewpider's kind of cool.
Dewpider, I think, is cool.
Is it water type?
Yeah, it's water bug. I think that one's kind of cool.
That's a cool combo, water bug.
I guess it's evolved form, Araquanid. that line's kind of funny and cool.
Water bug's sort of interesting.
I think it's an interesting combo, especially because that Pokemon can actually make use of it as compared to fucking Surskit, which sucks.
Oh, right. Ugh, Surskit.
Yeah.
Finally, we're at the main event, Joshua, Violet City.
Yes.
A robust town full of sights and sounds. One of the first things you encounter is this rotund man.
Oh, yeah.
Who talks very fast and he spins out of control. And
gibberish.
Ushers you around the city.
Earl.
Although, I remember in the last game, he like shows you literally every single building in Violet City.
Yeah, he does.
In this one, he just spins his way to the Pokemon school.
Yeah. He does not whirl and twirl you all around town anymore.
I will say he's my Stranger Danger.
Okay.
Sorry, Trainer Danger.
Yeah, we didn't have that segment back in Gen 2, so he couldn't get it, and he deserved it then, and he deserves it now.
He talks so fast that you can't keep up, and I think that's his shtick. He gets you because you're just like, what? No, I what? And then like, he gets you to follow him into his little like lair.
Yeah.
And he could do anything to you in there, but what he does is he teaches you about Pokemon because he brings you to the Pokemon school.
Yeah, I just looked him up. His full name is Earl Dervish, like a whirling dervish.
Like whirling dervish.
That's funny.
I guess.
I mean, if that's your thing, I guess, but he also looks fucking insane in the anime. He wears like a full-blown leotard and that's like a handlebar mustache. And
wait,
then,
what's
like,
his name? Earl Dervish? I gotta look at what he looks like in
handlebar
the
handlebar hair as well. Bow tie, leotard.
Oh, Earl, yeah, Dervish. He's my trainer danger for sure. Seeing him in the
this
anime,
guy should not be running a school.
Yeah.
Or an academy of any kind.
Yeah, this guy's a nightmare.
And I get it, like, if you're playing this for the first time, you would need to know that, like, a paralyzed heal cures paralysis, I guess.
Probably could have figured that out.
Can't you put that together?
To be honest, I think even I could have figured that out. The other main site in Violet City is Sprout Tower.
Yes.
Which is the large tower that is built on the stock of a giant dead Bellsprout.
A 100-foot tall Bellsprout.
It's
ancient Bellsprout.
Ancient, yep. And it sways gently. And they've kept the swaying animation. It looks great.
It does. I mean, the building looks great. I mean, this whole town looks great. When you see it at night, it's got lanterns.
It's cool.
On the pathways that, like, their light will, like, pulse.
It's beautiful. It's like, remember when Avatar came out and there was like a bunch of people that's like, they felt like nostalgia for Avatar or like Pandora. They're like, I wish I could live on Pandora.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about Violet City. It seems very lovely.
Did you see the clips of Marianne Williamson interviewing James Cameron this week?
No. Was it about Avatar 2?
It's her scoring an interview with James Cameron, following up on her comments during her presidential campaign when she said that, like, Avatar was her favorite movie. It's some fucking wild shit.
She's like, she was like Crystal Mom, right? Was she the Crystal Mom?
Yeah, Crystal Mom, yeah.
Yeah.
And she loves Avatar.
Who doesn't? Me, I don't.
And you should check it out. There's also a really good clip on the Who Weekly Twitter.
I'll say this.
Cross promo.
When Avatar first came out, I went and saw it, and I was pretty indifferent. I was like, I guess it was fine.
Yeah.
And then in the following months, everyone came out against Avatar, and I was like, yeah, I hate Avatar too. But then our old friend of the pod, David Sims, his podcast, Blank Check, really turned me around on Avatar.
I had a journey of actually liking it quite a bit when I saw it, and then everyone hated it. I was like, well, I don't know. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
And I've wanted to rewatch it ever since, but because of society, I haven't even, and the fact that it takes, what, 3.5 hours, and like, yeah, I'd have to take over the TV, and Bobby doesn't want to rewatch it, so
yeah.
It's a whole thing. I think it was probably good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to rewatch it before, like, whenever the next one comes out in
shit, but it's
a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Sprout Tower, it looks great. It's got that splash screen that they started doing last gen, where it's like they do it with like caves and shit, where you get the little like Sprout Tower.
Oh, yeah, the little like screen. Intro screen. Yeah.
And it looks great. They've got little Bellsprout statues everywhere. I cannot remember Gen 2 that well, but I remember a couple things. Mm-hmm. And what I remember is Sprout Tower was much longer in Gen 2. I don't know if that's actually true. And I also remember that Sprout Tower had ghost Pokemon in it.
It did.
And I don't know if that's actually true.
It was, like, fucking great. Like, I caught a Ghastly in it in Gen 2.
Right. This one is 2 levels.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick to get through. You only have to face, like, 5 or 6 guys. And then there's no ghost Pokemon. There's no wild Pokemon at all. You just face it off against the monks.
So I actually caught... This is where I caught my Rattata.
In Sprout Tower?
On the third floor, specifically.
Oh, I didn't encounter a single wild Pokemon the entire time.
I ran into 2 Rattatas, one that
what?
I caught and one that I killed. And I'm now looking at the Bulbapedia, and this is fascinating to me because I thought that I played this at night. I did play this at night, and I'm looking at the stats. It says in Gen 4 in Sprout Tower, at night, from all 3 floors, actually, there's an 85% chance that you will get a Ghastly.
I must
not
have. And
a 15% chance that you get a Rattata. Why do I get 2 Rattatas? No Ghastlies.
I must not have played
it. I didn't even fight one.
But the weird part is I didn't even encounter a Rattata.
What the hell?
I didn't encounter anything. I was like, oh, they got rid of the random encounters.
This sounds wrong. I mean, this sounds wrong.
Yeah.
Bulbapedia, it's fake news.
It's weird. I didn't encounter anything except
for... What are you talking about? How could I not see one Ghastly?
The bajillion Bellsprouts that all the monks had.
I was hoping this was going to be my fucking, like, thing again.
You're going to have to go back. Oh, wait. Did you catch the Rattata in here?
Oh, yeah. I caught the Rattata, but I wanted a Ghastly.
No, I didn't catch anything in here. I'm going to go back to Sprout Tower tonight and catch a Ghastly.
You could get one. Well, you can't... It could only ever be a Haunter, though.
Why?
Can't trade it.
I can trade to myself.
Oh, we did that in Nuzlocke the first time, didn't we?
Trade it to yourself.
Damn it.
So then you go to the top of this. Bad Josh is up there. slash Fjellstad.
Harassing sages.
Yeah, and he's like bothering the sage Lee, who's the king's sage of Sprout Tower.
Yeah.
You've just encountered him thrashing sage Lee, and he leaves with his spoils.
Which is the TM for Flash, I think, right?
Which is now demoted to a TM in this game, which is super nice.
God.
Because that's not an HM. It's not even,
shouldn't be anything.
Not even useful.
Doesn't deserve a TM either.
And then you face off against Sage Lee as well. He's easy. He's just got a Bellsprout. He's got two Bellsprouts and a Hoot Hoot.
I will say the Bellsprout sprite I found pretty festive because it hops around now.
You think he's looking better?
It does a little, you know, a little bop.
Yeah.
I always think Bellsprout's okay. I just know that you don't like it, and I wanted to just say.
It looks like a sex toy. Yeah.
Well, I think that's more Weepin' Bell and Victory Bell's thing, but.
They all look like sex toys. Sprout Tower's behind us. We have Flash.
Yep.
Not super useful to us yet. I very quickly, Josh, dipped down to Route 32 so that I could catch a Mareep, which I did catch.
Because we were making the notes earlier, I saw that you did this, and then we convened a little bit.
You ended up going down there.
Yeah, I wanted to see if I could get a couple more levels in after we flipped the coin. Because we are bug catchers, we are flipping coins for every episode once again in this season. It's not going to work out for me on this one, so we will be battling.
You made some progress. You got some good levels.
I got a couple more levels.
Yeah.
But I encountered a Mareep as well, and that's Joshy's fucking sweetie.
Yeah, cutie in this game.
Wow! Always good, but now it, like, leaps. It, like, kind of leaps back and forth.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's so jaunty.
And super useful for taking on Gym Leader Faulkner.
That was really smart of you, yeah.
The head of Violet City Gym.
Yeah.
This gym is super straightforward. You walk in, there's a little platform that takes you to the rafters.
It's like Platinum style where they make it really elaborate, and you just, like, step in, and it takes you up on this fucking, like, elevator.
Yeah, it's cool.
And they've got like remixes of the gym music, and the gym leader music was fucking, I don't know, I thought the whole thing was pretty thrilling.
Yeah.
It was good.
Up in the rafters, there's two cronies. Each of them have one single Pokemon, I think.
Yeah, it's like a Spearow, and then the other one has a Pidgey.
And Faulkner's is pretty straightforward. He's got a level 9 Pidgey and a level 13 Pidgeotto.
Yeah.
Fairly easy, although the Pidgeotto's fucking roost ability was a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But I zapped him with my Mareep's electricity and killed them both fairly quickly. And then he gives you roost. Which is nice.
Yeah.
I have use for that.
Can I tell you about what happened to me here?
Yeah.
I forgot about our gym leader level cap.
What'd you cheat?
No, I had my Hoot Hoot was what I was making my like ringer.
Okay.
Because I can't use my starter. I didn't want to risk the, like Chikorita dying.
Right.
To a gust. So I leveled my Hoot Hoot to level 13. And then while I was fighting the fucking cronies, it leveled up to 14.
Okay.
And so then I was like, oh shit, so like I can't use Hoot Hoot anymore.
So you had to DQ.
And I did have a Butterfree at that point. Because you know I love the fucking Confusion Butterfree play.
Yep, yep.
But then I had to go back out, level it a couple more times. I got the Butterfree up to level 12, which is when it learns Poison Powder, Stun Spore, and Sleep Powder. And then I went back in there and I was like, all right, well, I can run this. I'm going to assume Sleep Powder is going to hit and like they're just not going to be able to fucking touch me.
Right.
And Butterfree is going to go first because it's the highest evolved.
That work?
Yeah, it did.
Should have just gone and caught that Mareep, man.
I just forgot that Mareep was on that route.
I mean, I looked it up because Route 32 is accessible and I'm going to play by Tanner's cheatsportation rules where it's like,
yeah.
If a place can be reached, I'm welcome to go reach it, you know?
Yeah, and I forgot about that, too. So I will probably be milking that as well.
That's Faulkner behind us. Kill count, 0 for me.
0 for Josh.
You want to talk about our teams real quick before we battle?
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell you about Attorney Will's team?
Yeah, you're going to have a lot to say. Yeah. Level check.
Yeah, here's his level check. So Attorney's Will's team, as described before, are all named after charities. If any of the Pokemon die in my journeys, I will donate to the charity in question.
Uh-huh.
Mareep, level 13, named Fleecehaven.
Okay.
Fleecehaven.org. Fleecehaven is currently home to in excess of 120 retired and rescued sheep.
Wow.
Each and every sheep rescued by Fleecehaven is provided with permanent sanctuary with a guaranteed life of loving care and affection.
Beautiful.
Totodile, level 12, is named Everglade Fund.
Okay.
Evergladesfoundation.org. The Everglades Foundation works to protect and restore America's Everglades through science, advocacy, and education.
I feel like that's going to involve a lot of seawalls. I don't know if they're doing that, but that's good.
Rattata, level 9.
Okay.
Apopo. Apopo.org.
Apopo. The Rattata is good.
Apopo is it's a Dutch name. Mm-hmm. It stands for something in Dutch, so it's very hard to pronounce. But Apopo addresses global issues through research, development, and deployment of scent detection technology at its rat and dog training research centers in Tanzania and 7 other countries. These are landmine sniffing rats.
Yeah, anti-personnel landmines detection product development, and I am not going to try to say what that is spelled
in Dutch.
How that is said in Dutch. Because it's about 200 characters.
Yeah. Bellsprout, level 11, Power of Flower.
That's good.
POFproject.org, Power of Flowers Project shares hope and happiness by providing kind connections to seniors and veterans in care communities. Our dedicated volunteers repurpose donated flowers into bouquets and deliver these gifts to provide an unexpected moment of joy and improve the well-being of vulnerable populations.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Geodude, level 10, EDF, the Environmental Defense Fund, EDF.org. For more than 50 years, we've been pioneers using science and different perspectives to make the environment safer and healthier for us all. And finally, Hoot Hoot, level 13, Owls Trust, theowlstrust.org. The Owls Trust became a registered charity in 2001. We recognized that there was an urgent need for an organization to rescue owls and birds of prey in North Wales.
Obviously.
Yeah.
We all know that.
So that's my team, and those are the charities I will inevitably be donating to.
Can I quickly ask, for Geodude, how did you find the EDF? What was your search there?
Did a search
the
for
rest
rocks.
Seemed pretty straightforward.
Did a search for rocks charity.
Okay. Okay. As the rocks need a little help.
Found the EDF, yeah. Tell me about Stanner's team.
Well, Stanner, inspired by the 25 things you don't know about me, has been naming his new friends, which he acts as though they're people, but most people are just that he meets are saying that they're Pokemon.
Yeah.
But he's naming them about what he learned about T. Green Ring and from Steve Heumann.
Okay.
So the first one is Chikorita, and its name is Rosencrantz.
Oh, sure. From
level 13.
One of my favorite plays, one of my favorite books.
I only saw it during the fucking Winter One Acts when I was in high school. So, like, you know, whatever. I've obviously read Hamlet. I'm curious. Why do you love Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead?
Oh,
so much?
I love Tom Stoppard. Tom Stoppard is easily my favorite playwright, and his plays turned into books are some of my favorite books.
Okay.
Love Tom Stoppard. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead is a wonderful play. So much fun.
I enjoyed
Even
it.
The film of it is very good. Go check out the film.
I should just do that because I enjoyed it when it was like my idiot, you know, high school classmates doing it, and I've never seen an actual performance, so
yeah.
Rosencrantz's partner in crime is Guildenstern the Hoot Hoot, level 14.
Cute.
And then we've got Kanye West.
Okay.
Butterfree,
I should clarify here.
Level 13. Well,
not current Kanye.
Shouldn't I say, though, the reason that Butterfree is named Kanye West is because in your document, Tanner's Most Beloved, you wrote that Kanye West, but not anymore.
Yeah.
And Butterfree doesn't last that long. You're not going to use this thing that long, but it's fun for a bit.
I love Kanye West, but my love for Kanye West has really tapered in the last few years.
Well, no further explanation necessary.
Yeezus was probably the last good one.
I don't even know if I would go that far, but that's fine. He's out. Krillin.
Yeah, from Dragon Ball Z.
Rattata.
Yeah.
Level 7. Because it's like small, feisty, fast.
Sure.
Seemed kind of fun.
Yeah. You're a Dragon Ball Z
fan? It's like Goku's friend.
He's Goku's friend who dies all the time. So probably also pretty appropriate for Rattata.
Knowing that factoid, it would have been better that I would have known it, named it after a different Pokemon that I would resurrect, because I will not resurrect a Rattata, but I'll probably have older Rattatas.
Yeah.
Just keep naming them the same thing.
Yeah.
And then Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah.
Which is a Mareep, level 6. And this is a
basketball player. He plays for the Toronto Raptors.
He's pretty tall, I looked up.
No, and very short, in fact.
What?
Incredibly short compared to others.
I thought it was 6 foot.
6 foot is devastatingly short in the NBA, Josh.
You can't expect me
amongst
to do that.
The shortest players in professional basketball. He's great at draining threes, though. The Raptors
what
suck
does that
this
mean?
Season.
Like getting a three-pointer? Draining threes?
Yeah, he's good at getting three-pointers, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting way of saying that.
He looks like Drake a little bit, which is weird because Drake is his friend. Because Drake loves the Toronto Raptors too, because Drake is from Toronto.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. So Mareep, I guess I got that wrong, but it's because Ampharos becomes really tall. And I guess not tall enough.
Not tall enough. Fred VanVleet's very short.
Not tall enough.
It's like 4 inches shorter than me, Josh.
Well, I didn't have time to go through the whole list that you gave me. I looked up like 4 of them and they were all 6 foot.
Yeah, they're all
so
pretty short.
So then I was like, okay.
A lot of my favorite basketball players are short kings.
Well, nobody's going to be taller than that. Then that's who it is. Fred Van Vliet, which I thought was kind of a funny name for a Mareep. Anyway, next up is Spinarak. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Straightforward.
Funny, I didn't ever mention Spider-Man as one of my favorite characters.
What?
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had a, what are your favorite comic book characters? You had Spider-Man in there.
Didn't I say Superior Spider-Man?
Jesus, I don't...
It's a different guy.
Well, it says Spider-Man from Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's a different guy, Josh.
What the hell is Superior Spider-Man?
I'll tell you.
Right-wing
complicated,
Spider-Man?
But Dr. Octopus was dying, and he found a way to transport his spirit into Peter Parker's body, and he killed Peter Parker and took over Spider-Man's body, and he became the Superior Spider-Man, where he learned how to be a hero, but he was like cold and calculating and analytical. And it was a wonderful comic from about, I don't know, 8 years ago.
Okay.
It was like, what if Doc Ock tried to be Spider-Man and tried to be a hero? And it was really good.
Was he good at that?
Yeah, he was really good at it.
Okay. That's interesting. I always thought Doc Ock from the movies, because I've never read any of the books, I mean the comic books, was interesting as a character.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that as a twist on him.
That's cool. It was a good comic book.
Anyway, Spider-Man, the Spinarak, level 3.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be...
probably the linchpin in me losing this battle.
Let's throw to battle and find out, Joshua. Bugcatchers, we'll be back in a second. We'll tell you who won this first battle.
It's going to be Tanner this time.
Who knows? We'll see. Josh is a superior Pokemon player. We'll be back in a few minutes to catch you up.
All right.
Well, Josh, or sorry, I guess I shouldn't call you Josh. I guess I should call you the mayor of Cheatsportation.
Secretary of
Sleeps. Do you want to describe what happened?
Sleepsportation,
yeah. Do you want to describe what happened?
I knew that my only chance would be if I could put as many of Tanner's Pokemon to sleep as possible. So I opened with Butterfree, Kanye West.
Yeah.
And just fucking slung Sleep Powder out. It didn't matter who it was.
You put every single one of my Pokemon
to sleep. And Tanner smartly did open with Hoot Hoot, but his Hoot Hoot had Keen Eyes and not Insomnia, and mine does have Insomnia. So I was like, oh shit, I actually made a mistake. Butterfree might be in trouble, but his Hoot Hoot just went to sleep.
And then you tore through my team.
Yeah, I put Mareep to sleep. I put Totodile to sleep. And then I just flung some confusions out there. And you did take Butterfree out eventually with Mareep when it woke up.
Yeah, it took too long, though.
And then that was it. Then I had Chikorita clean that up with a Razor Leaf. And then you had Bellsprout was the last one. But I had all 5 of the other ones. So I just swapped out for Hoot Hoot. And did a couple of clean pecks.
Let's get back into it. Let's go for round two. We'll see you in a second, bug catchers.
Okay.
Joshua, you were so convinced you were going to lose, and you beat me handily in both games because of your fucking Caterpie's sleep powder. You once again...
Well, Butterfree these
Butterfree,
days.
You once again put all my team...
Guess Kanye West still got it because he was like a monster in those battles,
yeah,
huh?
Great. You put me to sleep. You killed all my guys. You put them all to sleep, and then you killed them. It's fucking mercenary. You murked them.
I will say I made an offer, and I think it's a respete on both of our sides, that I could play with no sleep powder, and Tanner still said... Just
no,
it.
it's fair rules in this game, and someday I'll have Pokemon that have reliable sleep moves, and I'll want to use them, you know? So
I did open with Chikorita on this one, but...
And I beat Chikorita.
Yeah, you killed him, and then...
Butterfree came out and put
I was like, well, it's obviously time to just put everyone to sleep, because I do have a level 3 Spinarak, and a level 6 Mareep, and a level 7 Rattata in the back end of the
So congratulations.
But this is also to say, I want to give a respete to Butterfree.
Yeah. Hell of a run.
I feel like Butterfree actually is, like, when I think about it, the best, most consistent, like, early game Pokemon that I can ever have.
Sleep powder's brutal. Like, I mean, so
it's gotten me out of so many fucking problems in so many games with, like, it makes every starter irrelevant because it's like, oh, if you have Charmander in the early games and then Brock is a problem, it's like, no, because I got fucking Butterfree here.
Right.
Or you're in this and it's like, oh, I got Falconer here and I got Chikorita. No, it's fine. I got Butterfree and I got Tanner here. No, it's not a problem. I got Butterfree.
Yeah, Butterfree put all my guys asleep and you destroyed me.
Early game powerhouse.
So off to an inauspicious start to season 4B for Attorney Will and Testament, but Joshua, that's episode one of season 4B.
It is.
Bug Catchers, thank you for joining us. Please come back next week for the continuation. We're going to be going through all 16 gyms of Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Wow. Next week is Azalea Town, which is our friend Bugsy.
Well, I think I'm well set up for Bugsy.
Yeah, this is another reason why Chikorita is not well placed. Yeah.
I remember. So. You'll recall that I had Chikorita when we played through this game the first time.
Yeah, notable. Scyther is level 17, so any Pokemon you bring in for the gym battle, unless we decide to
do away,
remove the filibuster and then get rid of that rule.
17 is not very high.
Level 17 is the highest for my Hoot, for example, which is already level 14.
That's not very high.
Could be problematic. Problematic.
All right, Bug Catchers, we will see you next week. Please do rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. It really does help. I know we say that every week, but if you haven't done it yet, take 5 minutes to go and do it. It helps tremendously.
And then give us a follow on our social channels at expsharepod. On Twitter and Instagram, check out the subreddit, reddit.com/r/bugcatchers, where there are a lot of them playing on Nuzlocke as well, and you can commiserate in the weekly level check threads made by our moderator, Mike Levine.
Yes.
And compete to be a trainer of the week and trainer of the season, which we recently had.
We have a lot of guests planned this season. One of them may be joining us next week, but we are still working through the details, so we may be on our own or we may have a guest. You'll have to tune in to find out.
If we lock it down, you'll hear me saying who that guest is right now.
Yes.
Next week, we'll be joined by Ahmed Ali Akbar, host of See Something, Say Something, the podcast. We're excited to play some Mon with him.
All right. Bug Catchers, Joshua, I'll see you next week.
Smell you later.